Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And this is the podcast where we talk about our favorite movies and TV shows and give our opinions
about
them.
Everything!
God.
I'm a little worked up today.
Yeah. That was not the energy that we had going into this, and when I set up the energy, this is not what I meant.
You want energy? Energy you got.
You sound like you've just had, like, so many monsters. Jesus Christ.
You have yet to see me on Monster. Anyway.
Glad.
Yeah, really. It's an experience. And not one we're going to really talk about at this moment. We are here to talk about Season 2, Episode 4 of Bridgerton.
Called Victory.
Yay.
Yeah, we're very enthusiastic about this one.
Yeah, not so much. But they call it Victory. And so, and I'm really not sure why. Maybe we'll figure that out as we talk about it.
They say it at the end, but like...
Okay.
That doesn't really make it a victory.
It does
for
not.
Anybody involved. Anyway.
It does not. So we have like the usual disclaimers and caveats and things.
There will be cursing and there will be spoilers for Season 2 of Bridgerton.
And any number of other fuck shit things.
Jesus.
So I'm just, you know, I had a day. So
okay. We all had a day. We're going to leave that at the door. This is the podcast now.
Yes, ma'am.
Anyway, so this is the recap for that Netflix gives us for Victory.
Wait, we're drinking. We have to talk about what we're drinking.
Whatever, fine. All right, we'll do that first.
So for Victory, normally, and I thought we thought about doing like champagne for this. I just, because I didn't have champagne open, I went with Prosecco, which of course is like my favorite basic bitch thing. So
it's not that basic. I mean, it's just wine.
It is for me. So because Prosecco is like my every so well frequent go-to.
Okay. That was a lot. And since we didn't really plan on recording today, I just grabbed whatever I could, and it's a tea. I'm back.
Shocking.
What?
Shocking.
Okay, I've been doing great this season, and yet this is the one time when I was unprepared, and you're like, hey, let's record today. And so I'm like, okay, I guess I'll have to find something. And so I'm drinking pure chamomile tea. So there
it
we go.
The basic bitch thing. That's
well, I don't really
doing.
Drink. Well, to be completely honest, I don't really drink chamomile tea all that often. It's the only reason I chose this one is because it has flowers and that kind of thing, and it's a flower ball that they attend.
Yes,
so
yes,
and
so
that's the best I could have done.
Yeah, let's start with that. So,
well, no, I no, need to give the recap.
Sorry,
because you interrupted my recap the first time. I'm sorry for our listeners. We're going
through
it.
We're snippy today.
All right. The recap says, as guests gather for the Bridgertons' ball, Antony and Kate clash during a hunting party. Colin revisits the past, and Lady Featherington sets a trap. None of which is fun, except for Kate and Antony. None of which is fun.
Okay. So
Just throwing that out there. None of this is fun except with Kate and Antony stuff at the beginning.
Well,
anyway.
Right. And the beginning, actually, of this has the Bridgerton feel, right?
Okay, so, wait. Well, first, I want to, like, change that statement slightly. It's not my least favorite episode of all time ever. But there are so many parts of this episode that I dislike that it kind of outweighs it, which makes me really sad. So I'm not saying none of it's fun. It's just some of it is.
Right,
it's
so,
not a lot. Sorry.
It's
that
okay.
Was a tangent.
It's all right. So we're having a day today. So we start this with a discussion. Lady Whistledown is doing the monologue or whatever, and she's talking about how they're hosting a country visit mm-hmm. at Aubrey Hall, and it's the annual Hearts and Flowers Ball. It's like, annual? We did not see this shit last year, so I'm a little disappointed. I would have liked to see Aubrey Hall. I would have liked to have seen Bridgertons in their natural environment or whatever.
Well, I feel like they discussed Aubrey Hall briefly with Hyacinth at one point.
Right, but nobody went. It's not like they hosted a ball there last season. It's like, and this is the annual Hearts and Flowers Ball. It's like,
Maybe we just missed it. I don't know.
They just don't even talk about it. So in the last season, and so that's kind of whatever.
So they're planning the ball, and Violet is very impressed by Daphne's abilities to, like, give orders to everybody, and, like, the flower arrangements and such.
Right, so this is one of those things, it is reminiscent of the kinds of symbolism that they have begun to, like, different kinds of flowers and that kind of stuff. And so Daphne actually is saying, we need to have more lilacs in the bouquets because that is indicative of first love. And, of course, the smell, I love the smell of lilacs anyway, it's just beautiful. I'm kind of like, all right, that's indicative of first love. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So that's great. And so I like that she has, you know, that whole, you know, myriad of things that she can draw on to, you know, be a hostess.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Benedict and Antony.
And Antony takes a bite out of this apple, and Benedict's in the background painting, and he's like, I was painting that! And it's really funny. It's like, I love Benedict and Antony's sibling dynamic. I love the Bridgerton bros.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a point, like, where Antony's, like, talking, I guess he's kind of brooding or whatever, and Benedict just tells him, look, if you're gonna propose in the fresh air.
And
you're
go outside.
Yeah, you're a fresh air guy. Yeah, leave me alone. And then we cut to Edwina and Kate in whatever apartments they have been given or rooms they have been given at Aubrey Hall. And Edwina's asking Kate, she's like, oh, I know you're still hurting from your bee sting and blah, blah, blah. And she talks about, she really wants to get married to Antony or something.
Well, she wants the life that he's able to provide for her, because she's okay with them being slightly distant in their relationship and, like, them having, still living separate lives while being married. And so it makes sense, and she clearly, she thinks she knows what she wants as far as that's concerned, so she's just like, I really want this. I want this life. I appreciate the life he's offering me, and
this house and this stuff.
Well, not necessarily just that, but it's just like his family.
Like,
well, no, she mentions like his family, and it's like, I want to be a part of this family. I want to be a part of this kind of way of life and that kind of stuff. So it might be additionally to that, but whatever. But she thinks he hasn't proposed because Kate and Antony hate each other.
Yeah, and it's kind of like Kate's like, okay, we're gonna go with that. Sure.
Yeah, because she's like, it's because of you that he hasn't proposed yet. And she's just like, what? And then everybody's like, you hate each other. It's like, oh, yeah. That's it.
And so Edwina's like, I want Antony. He needs to love you, Kate. And Kate's kind of like, okay. I'm not sure about that, but okay. And you can tell it's like all over her that she feels guilty. And I like that she does that. You know, she's aware.
Yeah, and Edwina wants Kate to encourage Antony to propose and for them to get closer so that he feels comfortable enough to propose if that's the issue.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we go back to London.
Right, and there's a montage of London. The modiste is helping to deliver Penelope's manuscript to the printers by, like, sewing it up in a dress.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, but okay.
Well, it's not even sewn up, it's just hidden in a dress.
Well, right, but why would a dress be getting delivered to the printers? It just seems kind of like
that's the whole thing of it. I don't know, maybe that's just the best covert way. I don't know.
Whatever.
Someone can use the dress. Maybe it's just a bad dress or, like, something that nobody wanted.
Yeah, whatever.
For scraps.
Yeah, so they are then at some public thing, and Lord Featherington, the new guy, is waving at the Cowpers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah, they're in line going into town, to Aubrey Hall.
Oh, right. No, that's, yeah, so everybody who's in town is going to Aubrey Hall for the big ball and the weekend.
Yeah.
And so Lord Featherington is waving outside the carriage to the Cowpers who are in the next carriage.
Yeah. And then you've got Daphne and Violet talking about Antony. Well, she sees Antony and Daphne sees Antony and Edwina sitting and talking, and she's just like, I don't really know Edwina that well. Like, she's like, I feel like it's not just that she, like, hasn't, like, really talked to her. It's more like she has not really, like, given anything away about herself. Like, Edwina hasn't. Like, she's talked to her, but she's not really responding in any particular way that's, like, indicative of anything. Like, she's just, like,
well,
giving the right answer.
Right. She is the diamond. She is very diplomatic. She is poised. She gives the right answer. But there's no, she doesn't reveal anything. And of course, Daphne, that was one of the complaints about Daphne's character from a lot of people in the first season, that she just doesn't, you know, give herself away. And that's true also of Edwina. I think the difference is that we are really not seeing that Edwina has a whole lot of depth.
Yeah, and Daphne was the lead of her season, so it's kind of like we were going to see more for Daphne, but we have not seen that much of Edwina.
Right, and so Edwina, she's just like, I don't know her. At that point, Penelope, the Featheringtons show up, and Penelope is like running to like hang out with Eloise and Colin, because that's who she is to hang out with.
Yeah.
And
then I just wrote down, Eloise likes the liberal feminist articles and has gotten to know the apprentice Theo.
You're right.
Great.
Yay.
I really don't care.
I mean, there's a lot of don't care here.
The thing is, this subplot in particular, I just really could not give any more shits about. Like, I really I just don't care.
Well, I mean, there's that, and then there's the whole,
I'm not liking Eloise in this element anyway. I don't like her with the liberal feminist thing because I found it lacking depth before, and it felt like it was just shoehorned in for modernity points. And, like, being like, hey, we see this, we understand it's an issue in the old times. Well, we're going to talk about that. Well, whatever. During this era, there's a lot of sexism. We're going to address that right now through Eloise.
And we're going to fix it all. No, we're not.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
The whole point of history is to learn from it. And I understand that Eloise is supposed to be our put-in as a modern person.
Right, the person we identify with.
I don't want her talking at me about this stuff. I already know this stuff.
Right.
Like, I understand that. If you talk about it in a specific way where it's like, I'm learning from this kind of wrongdoing here, that's one thing. If it's like an actual like situation that like the characters are facing. But it's an entirely different thing if you're just like, well, I read this article about blah, 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 sexist shit. And I'm just like, I don't care. Like,
you're just we're still doing you're that talking, like 100 and something years later.
Well, the thing is also, you're not only talking at your audience, you're talking down to your audience a little bit. And I felt like a little bit, whenever Eloise talks about this stuff, it's not just, I don't feel like it's always just directed at the character she's talking to. It's also directed towards the audience. And so whenever she's rude about this kind of stuff, it's like, well, you should let a woman have her own mind. It's like, I'm a woman. I'm fine. I got it. Thank you, Eloise, but I don't need you standing up for me and all women. But it's just like, I think...
Well, and I think Penelope's feeling it, too. So this is so funny.
Penelope's more of myself than fucking Eloise is.
Right, so Penelope joins Eloise and Colin, and Eloise just goes off on this rant, and, like, Penelope's kind of wanting to talk to Colin, but Colin comes out with this god-awful, I'm gonna go see Marina!
Oh, but that's another thing, but I also want to mention that when Eloise mentions Theo, Penelope's like, what, he has a name now? Or, like, wait, what? Something along those lines, like, she's just like, wait, you know him now? Like, are you guys are actually really talking?
You're
like,
on a first-name basis with the Printers Apprentice?
And also, like, Penelope's like, is this wise? Like, is this actually smart, Eloise? And I'm just like, no, it's not. Eloise, you're being an idiot. Also, like, you don't, again, the whole thing with Eloise, for me, is that she never thinks about the implications of her actions, and going into the wrong side of town and doing all this stuff, it's one thing to do it, but, like, she's just, I don't even know how to put into words how, like, annoyed and confused I am by, like, why she's doing any of this.
Right, but, you know, it makes sense in her head, I guess.
I'm all for people, like, pursuing new interests and stuff like that, but, like, when it's something this crazy and nobody, and you're not talking to anybody about it other than your friend, and your friend's even
the
telling
super
you.
Super secret thing, yeah.
And my philosophy is, like, if you talk to your friend about this one thing that you're doing, and your friend is even like, hey, are you sure you should be doing this? Maybe you should think about it for a second before you just do it again. But, like, I don't know. That's what Eloise is doing. I don't care. And anyway, Eloise Colin is visiting everything. Marina, and I hate it. So,
we're going to hate it, like, more later.
We will. Oh, we will.
The hating. So then we've got Edwina, like, oh, Kate, come sit with me. And Anthony is like, awkward.
And Kate's just hating life.
Yeah. I mean, this is bad. And Edwina's like, oh, Kate's an excellent shot. Because Anthony talks
about
it. They're going to go hunting. Oh, Kate's an excellent shot. She should go hunting with you.
And Anthony and Benedict are together, and they're about to go hunting. And Anthony's like, well, I mean, I don't know, maybe you shouldn't, I don't know if you can manage it necessarily. And she's just like, manage it? Like, do you not trust that I have a good shot? It's like, well, maybe you are like in a field or whatever, but not like necessarily moving targets in this situation. Yeah. He makes a fair point, I guess, but then like, he didn't have to put it like that. But like and then she's just like, oh, so you think I can't manage because I'm a woman? And he's like, no, I didn't say that. And then she's just like, but you thought it. And then Benedict starts laughing at him.
Well, right, I mean...
See, I actually like that.
Right. No, and that is cute. I think what part of it is like, Anthony is trying to make the polite, like, hey, I want to hang out with the bros thing. And
well, I also think that he just doesn't want to... I think there are several layers to this that are really funny to me, because, like, also... Whenever Edwina was like, oh, Kate's an excellent shot, he's like, of course she is. And because he just doesn't want to be stuck in a situation where he's alone with her.
Because he knows
how he feels about her, and she also knows, but at the same time, she's so stubborn that she's like, I'm going to prove myself to you. And then he's like, but I don't really want to hang out with you alone because I know what will happen.
Right, and I've got bros, and I don't want anyone to see, and just like all this stuff, because like he knows it's going to like be all over him, because mm-hmm. it was very... obvious to him, like how this like was physically apparent to him that he really cares about or is hormonal about. But Edwina, of course, pushes it
because she wants some dense.
How dense is this
but
girl?
I
like,
understand her idea of like her, them wanting yeah. like she. Well, here's the thing: in her mind, the reason that he's not proposing is because Kate doesn't like him, and he doesn't like Kate. And she feels, obviously, like he doesn't feel she thinks he doesn't feel comfortable enough to ask for her blessing. And that's the whole thing. But, like, she... And so her, like, being like, hey, you guys go on this activity together, and...
It's logical in her mind.
It is logical in her mind. So I wouldn't say she's a dunce for it. Yeah, she doesn't notice the signs, but so does, like, I mean...
Which, again, the signs.
Well, whatever. That will come into play later. But anyway, then we go over to Marina.
Oh, my God.
I just
wrote... Colin showing up at Marina and Philip's home, the Cranes. It's like, oh,
also,
my God.
Also, apparently she had twins. I don't care. I also wrote down, I don't care about Marina and Colin and her twins.
Right. And
even her twins, I don't care.
Right. So despite the fact that there is like a zero of a Marina and Colin thing in the books, the Bridgerton cousin named Marina does marry Philip Crane and there are twins.
Okay.
The twins are actually his, but whatever.
It doesn't matter.
It obviously doesn't matter. But
basically, they're niece and nephew, so whatever.
Right, but essentially, it's just they're trying to like use this partial setup for what turns out to be Eloise's book.
Well,
so
I don't know if they're going with that.
It looks pretty obvious to me that they're not, but, you know,
They might. We don't know.
We just don't know, but it will be convoluted and painful if they do, so,
Whatever. And then we go back to Aubrey Hall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Maria's like, oh, I'm well, please, and she's pleased to see Colin, and she actually looks pleased to see him at the beginning.
At the beginning,
and then, like, later on, it's kind of like, ugh, you know.
Well,
she's
we'll
back
get
to being
there.
Marina.
We'll get
anyway,
there.
So we cut back to Aubrey Hall, and it really is like remarkable how they've set this up, and there are lawn games and people doing stuff outside, people doing stuff inside. But
they did a good job. Good job, Daphne and Violet.
Yeah, what
and
do
everybody
there?
Else who sent
yeah,
this all, up.
There's a whole lot of everybody else, and they get overlooked in all of these things. So whatever. So
good job, Rose. Good job, ladies, maids, and everybody.
Everybody. So
and footman, unnamed footman.
Unnamed footman.
We love you, unnamed footman.
We do. So Daphne is trying to draw Edwina out, and so she's like asking her stuff.
You make it sound so malicious.
No, not at all.
You're like, she's trying to draw her out. It's
no,
like,
she's,
no.
She's trying to figure out, like, who
she's
is
trying
this
to figure
person?
Her out.
Right, exactly. I don't consider that malicious.
No,
at
it's
all.
Not. It's not. It's not. It's just the way you phrased it with drawing her out. It was like a hunt. Like
No. Like, my thought and is like, trying to get to know her better.
Yeah,
so,
no, she
like,
is. That's what I wrote down. That's why I was confused on why you said, like, draw out.
Right, like, trying to... to get out of her something real,
something
genuine.
Yeah, something genuine that's not, rehearsed.
Right. And so she's trying to, like, get to actually know her. And she's asking her questions, like, so, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And she makes a comment, Edwina does, about, oh, Antony's so even-tempered. And Daphne's like, excuse me? What are you talking about?
Wait,
have
I don't know if you're talking about Antony.
Right, and so she's like, so...
And she's like, is he not?
Oh, I must bring out the best in him, and...
Or maybe he's putting up a front.
Right, and Daphne's kind of like...
But again, like...
Skeptical.
Like it was mentioned before in this show, you have to see the worst with the best. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever you're in a relationship, you have to see both sides.
Yeah, well, so then Edwina tells Daphne her brilliant plan of sending Kate and Antony hunting so that they can find common ground.
And Daphne's already knowing how this is going to turn out.
Yeah, because Daphne has seen it. I mean, she's seen the dynamic. She sees the spark, the chemistry, the whatever.
Yeah.
She is a smart woman, and she's like, I know hormones.
Yeah, I think finally Amory and Daphne are aware.
Right, right. So Daphne has...
Maybe even Benedict. Even Benedict knows.
Oh, Benedict knows for sure. I mean, and if Eloise weren't so self-absorbed, I think she would know. She would say
I don't know about that one.
I think if given the opportunity, Hyacinth knows.
Hyacinth definitely knows.
I love Hyacinth.
And Francesca, God knows where she is, so we don't know if she
Francesca
knows.
Has disappeared again.
we don't know where she is.
No, I know where she is.
She's somewhere.
She's off on the ground.
Elsewhere.
They went hunting for Francesca.
It's like Ramsay Bolton.
Right, exactly.
Send off the hounds.
Yes, we're going on a purple hunt. Anyway, so we cut to Antony, who's like tramping through the woods with all these people, and Kate.
And Kate's maid, who's struggling.
Right, well, they're on horseback, and Kate's maid does not know how to ride, obviously, so it's like, that's really pretty sad. But Antony's like, well, I just don't want to be possibly shot by Kate, you know, that kind of thing. He's just being like all sarcastic or whatever. And
it's a fair fear.
Yeah, right. So then they're gonna go off to wherever their camp is. I guess there's a camp spot where they're gonna like have refreshments or whatever. And Kate points out that the tracks are going in the opposite direction. Like, hello, if we're gonna actually hunt, we need to be going that way, not this way. Yeah. Hello. And then she does idiotic things, which of course, you know, this is her idiotic thing. I'm going to just do it on my own. It's like she's wearing a dark greenish colored, or
it's not green, it's blue,
whatever. It's still dark in the woods where she's going hunting. She's not got like an orange vest on. She can potentially be shot by somebody because they mistake her for an animal they're hunting. It's like, incredible dumbass. She also, when she does this, like, does this giant step over, like, this stick. It's not a log, it's a stick. But she, like, pulls her skirt up, like, all the way to her waist, practically. It's like, girlfriend, what exactly are you doing here?
Are you telling me you want her to wear an orange safety vest?
No, but the point is...
The ones during the Regency era.
My point is, quite simply... Someone who is as knowledgeable as she is supposed to be about hunting would know that that's dangerous.
But to
and
be
she's
fair,
being
everyone
a
else is
dumbass.
Going, well, everyone else is going to the camp. It's not like she's anybody
I
else
know
is being a dumbass.
That. They're at the front of this long line
of
people.
They're at the back of the line.
They're at the front of the line.
They're at the back.
At least
regardless,
at the beginning of the scene.
I agree, it's a stupid idea.
It's a dumbass thing.
But before we even get to any of that you just mentioned, we go back to Marina and Colin, and it's an awkward talk, and
God,
I hate it. We can go back to Kate and Antony now.
Oh, no.
I don't want to go through this.
No,
I don't want to do it.
No, it's like really ridiculous. So Colin, and he's got kind of this cute little, I've got to like mention his clothes because it's... It's the kind of thing I mentioned. So most of the guys, when you see them, usually have like a white shirt and a white kind of like cravat type thing on. Uh-huh. His is this kind of pale blue. And it really, you know, it's the first time I've really noticed that Colin has blue eyes, because you usually notice that like he has brown eyes, or it looks like you, because Antony really has brown eyes very clearly. Benedict really has blue eyes very clearly, but Colin, I had always thought they were dark, and they're not, they're blue, and so this blue color kind of brings that out, which is really kind of nice. It's like a robin's egg color, it's really pretty, and it looks great on him.
Great.
And so he's sitting there, and he's being overly chatty, not that I know anything about being overly chatty, but you know,
Alright, take a breath, All right.
About his travels, about Greece.
And he, it, much like Eloise, like Marina doesn't really want to hear about Greece.
Well, right. And so Philip shows up. This is, you know, he's like kind of about to take his leave or whatever. And Sir Philip shows up.
And offers for him to go to dinner.
Right. And Marina's kind of like, no, he's leaving. Please God, he's leaving. Because, you know, she doesn't like Colin.
She doesn't.
She is tolerant of Colin. She was excited, I think, to have a visitor that was an adult, not a child. She clearly, I mean, seriously, no, when you have babies, like, talking to an adult is kind of a big thing. Because you're
it's a big step.
Like, woohoo, I'm talking to an adult. And talking to an adult for a while, I think, was a refreshing idea for her. But by several hours later, she's kind of like, you can go now. It's good. But then Sir Philip's like, oh, we should invite him to dinner. And Maria's like, oh. Fine.
Anyway, it's fine. And then we go back to Kate and Anthony.
Oh, Kate and her log business.
Yeah, that's the log part.
Yeah, she
pulls, and she like exposes her leg a little bit.
Oh, not a little bit. It's up to her thigh. I'm sorry. This is a floor length dress that she's got on. You don't need to pull it up to your thigh to step over us.
She's making a statement, Mother.
Yeah, the statement is, look at my legs.
Look at my ass. Anyway,
whatever,
Anthony sees it, and he's confused. Well, not confused. He knows what's going on.
He is hormonal.
Well, he knows what's going on, but at the same time, he doesn't want to feel it with her, so he's confused.
Right. And he doesn't know how to behave. Let's put it that way.
And then we go back to everybody else, and Eloise, and Penelope.
There were a bunch of things I noticed about this. So Eloise is sitting at a table. Mm-hmm. And there are a bunch of girls who must be her peers. And they're all sitting there talking about, like, being out in the season and blah, blah, blah. And Eloise is so bored with these girls. She's just like, oh, my God, you are the most boring people in the world. And they start talking about Lady Whistledown. And, you know, the girls are all like, oh, I can't do anything my mother wouldn't approve of. And, you know, like, and the girls think that Lady Whistledown won't know anything that, because Lady Whistledown supposedly isn't there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you see Penelope's little wheels turning, like, wahaha.
Well, what do I do?
Yeah, what do I do? How do I hide this now? How do I hide this? But it's interesting to me because Eloise is so disgusted with these other girls, and she's, like, she doesn't give them a shot either. Like, mm-hmm. she has dismissed everybody, and admittedly, the girls are pretty like insipid and boring. And
boring, but at the same time, you need to make some kind of effort. And I think that this is her version of giving effort, which is not much. But like, I also think that she's limiting herself in so many ways by not like feeling well, just like seeing what's out there as far as like new people are concerned within her social station, because she's already given up on everyone there. And she's going to Theo mostly for that kind of stuff and the different pamphlets and such. But like, I feel like she's not giving enough people around her a chance.
Right.
Because I feel like a broken record about this. Like, if you don't give people a chance, if she doesn't give any of like any suitor a chance, then she's never going to find somebody who meets her at intellectual level at all. She's not going to give anybody a chance, and she's never going to meet anybody. And right. So I feel like she's limiting herself so much by, like, just not giving a shit and being, like, and not putting up forth any effort to, like, just talk to different people and see how their perspective differs from her, because she is so dead set on her perspective that she's not listening to anybody else. And yes, they listen to their mothers, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right, I mean, what do you know about their mothers to dismiss them? And I can see Krista, okay.
Well, they also, like, are having different experiences with the season. They're having different experiences with who they're being, like, paired up with and that kind of stuff. You can learn so much.
Right, right.
And Penelope's, like, absorbing all of this, and she's getting all the info, whereas Eloise is just slouched down completely into her chair and not doing anything. Right. And she's not trying to think about, hey, let's listen to other perspectives. She's only focused on hers. And it really pisses me off.
Well,
because an intellectual should not just only think about their beliefs and their set, like, mindset. They should only, I'm sorry, that was a lot. They shouldn't limit themselves. They should be open to all these new things. And Eloise is open to very few things, and they are, like, only approved by her and her mind and her idea of who a person should be, a woman should be, in this time period, which is feminist, liberal, whatever. And like...
That's a very, very small subset.
It's very, very small. And she's like, I don't understand why she considers herself an intellectual if she's not opening herself up to this kind of stuff. Like, Edwina is very, very smart. Kate's very, very smart. And they've made it work in their station just fine.
Right. Well, Lady Danbury, let's face it.
Yeah.
The queen.
She can't,
hello.
She can't deny that there are really smart people around her, but she's not opening herself up to anybody who could,
to learning
who
from
could
them.
Challenge her.
Right.
Who could challenge her beliefs and challenge her like mindset on what a life should be. She's not even really opening up to Penelope about this because Penelope has a completely different mindset. She acknowledges it, but she doesn't like think about it or learn from
her. But she's so very narrow that she will find herself in a very narrow box. Like we talked about before with, you know, like the suitors that show up at the house for her are like, oh, the quirky one. Oh, goofy one. And it's like, you're not... These girls that you're dismissing have brothers, right?
You know? Another thing is that she's not opening herself up enough so that Penelope is not her only friend. If Penelope gets married and she goes off and she does her own thing, Eloise is alone. And so she has to consider she not only needs a friend who's in her like social class, but she also needs somebody who can understand it. And I feel like these girls can because they're not really happy with their suitors. They're kind of talking shit about them. They're able to like open up about the fact that they're not really enjoying that aspect of it, like with the men, like, and the people who are being picked out for them. So they can bond over the kind of that kind of thing with them. And if they listen to their mothers, she can talk about, oh yeah, well, my mother did this, tried to set me up with this old guy. Oh, my mother tried to do this. Isn't that hilarious? Or whatever. She could open up to them and make new friends so she doesn't feel so alone and be just alone by herself all the time. And I feel like she's going to be so limited if Penelope were to leave her life in any kind of capacity. And I feel like she's relying so much on that, and she's even isolating herself somewhat from her family as well. She's ignoring Violet. She's only like
ignoring Violet's a mistake.
And she also she talks to Benedict sometimes and teases people, but she doesn't really talk to them.
Right.
Like
she's disengaged.
And also Colin literally went around the world, and she is even finding even though she finds some of his stories boring, she's not even really listening to them. If she wants to expand her mind and her horizons, and she wants to travel or do something like that, or just like open up her mind to anything other than what she just reads, which is fine. You can read. That's not the issue. But like, if you're limiting yourself so much, then it really is going to leave you really lonely, and she's going to realize that
you can make those choices. Like, I want my world to be small. Okay,
that's fine, but like she
don't pretend about it. And maybe she's not pretending. Maybe that's the reality. Is Eloise is not pretending. She just really doesn't want to be part of the world into which she was born, which is sad. I mean, it's kind of like this, the same kind of sad that Kate is. Like, okay, you're 26 and you've decided I'm not going to get married and whatever.
But she still knows how to do all of this stuff. That's
right,
the thing.
Right. Kate has the skills. Eloise could have the skills and has chosen not to.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's its own thing. Anyway,
sorry. That was a whole rant.
Yeah, sorry. So Lady Featherington and Prudence are discussing getting Lord Featherington to marry Prudence, which just, you know,
another
again,
stupid
like,
subplot. I don't care.
Don't care.
The only part of
that's
this
the only sentence I have.
The only thing that I have for this scene is they're playing like bowling or whatever, and then Prudence knocks them over, and she's just like, "I won! I won!" And then nobody's paying attention to her, and she's like, "Look at me! I won!" Like she just yells at people, and like I found that funny.
That was funny. That struck me as an umbrage move, considering her mom is Imelda Staunton. Look at me, look at me, whatever.
I don't know if... Okay. That's,
whatever. So that's anyway, random. So Kate is then talking to Antony about all of the rules and they're talking about the beasting, like the... What was the phrase? Like, the other morning when you were so, like, stricken or whatever. Like, you know,
whatever.
something along those lines. It's kind of like...
Something vague.
You were overcome. And it's like, no, you were overcome. No, you were overcome. It's like, you put your hand on my bosom and you put my hand there. It's like...
I was trying to calm you down.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I mean, their standing is idiotic.
I find it funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cute because they clearly just don't know how to talk to each other, which is
that's the only reason why I find it cute. If they just hated each other genuinely, I wouldn't have found this funny.
Right, right. No, so Anthony decides that he's going to help her hold her gun while she's aiming.
And line up the shot.
Right, because you've never held an English gun. It's like, oh, please, this is just stupid.
Well, it creates an intimate moment. It's cute, whatever.
They're nearly caught.
Yeah, and they're interrupted, and then he basically jumps away.
Right, and there's rain coming, and they need to get back to the house. And so, there is the panting, breathless, and again, Mr. Man of Action would have done something. I'm just telling you, because
there's a gun right there.
a long, stiff obstacle. Is that what you're trying to say?
That is not the
phrase. Tell you how to hold this long, stiff thing. I mean,
Mom,
let's face it. What are we talking about here?
That's not what I was thinking.
It's symbolic of something else.
I understand that. But it's not like they're stroking it or anything. Like,
really?
Because
they kind of were. My point is that Mr. Man of Action would have done something. And that is...
But Mr. Man of Action is courting somebody. Her sister, who she loves.
I'm just saying that...
Whatever, Man of Action might do something later, I don't care. Anyway, Marina...
Inconsistent with Anthony.
Whatever. And then it's Marina, Colin, and whatever the fuck his name is.
Philip.
At dinner. And Philip and Colin are talking about plants.
And Greece! Oh, I love Greece! I love plants in Greece. Plants in Greece are cool! Did you see plants in Greece? There are plants!
And then Marina's like, I'm sure that this... I hope this dinner's over. And then they're like, yes, dinner is over. And then Colin literally... And then Marina's like, why did you come here, Colin? Like, after Philip leaves the room. And then he's just like, I came to apologize for how we left things. And... I also wanted to say I forgive you, and she's just like, I don't want your forgiveness. I'm like, bitch, really? He's offering forgiveness you don't deserve, and first of all, accept it. Second of all, like, and then she says, it's in the past, Colin, it's whatever, and it's like, yeah, but you can still accept his forgiveness. You didn't have to say that.
Right, I mean, there was a gracious... way of handling this.
But it's Marina we're talking about, the bitch.
Right,
so
exactly. And I think
you
know, the reality is, like, she thinks that he is, like, trying to, you know, be involved in her life again. She doesn't want that because she doesn't want to mislead him. I think I'm giving her, like, the best...
You are really giving her the benefit of the
doubt. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt.
She could just say that.
But, right, exactly. The gracious way to do this would be, like... Well, I really appreciate
that I've built this life here.
And I've built this life, and I really...
And she is saying that, but
she says it in such a bad way. Yeah, she does.
She, first of all, calls him a boy in a fantasy.
Well, much and like then, the bullshit with Penelope, which is like when she was so awful to Penelope last season.
And then she's like, I built a life for myself, and you need to wake up. I'm like, bitch, please.
And open your eyes and see and look, there's... Your family and Penelope.
I'm glad she brings
people
up Penelope.
Who care of you.
I'm glad that she brings up Penelope. She's a real one for that one. But she's still a bitch. But like, she's just like, yeah, there are people who make you, whom you make happy and make you happy. You got your family. You got Penelope. And then he's like, Penelope? And I'm like, yes, dickhead, Penelope. You doofus.
I'll slap you, Colin.
I love you, Colin, but what the fuck?
What the fuck is definitely true.
Anyway, then we go back to Aubrey Hall. Kate and Anthony can't sleep. Kate goes to the library. Kate goes to the library, and she's on the ladder. She's getting a book because she can't sleep. And then Anthony's like, oh, I saw a light was on. I wanted to make sure I didn't leave a candle on, whatever.
And then they talk. I gotta say this because they both wake up in the middle of the night. Now, Anthony is shirtless in his bed, and yet somehow he has pants.
He puts his
shirt
whole,
and
like,
suspenders.
He puts on all of his clothes. You didn't have to do that. You have a robe,
I mean,
don't you?
Right, you should have like a nightshirt or a robe or something. This is Aubrey Hall. It's your freaking house. It's not like you're a guest here. So. Duh. But he like puts all the clothes on and he goes down to the library.
What a shame for all of us.
It is
a shame
for all of us, for
sure. And then they open up to each other a bit. She mentions that she has a fear of storms and her father would read to her whenever there was a monsoon. And I know that's like consistent with the books to a certain
Actually,
extent.
No, it's way more serious than the books.
I figured you did mention
that
last episode.
I'll talk about some of that a little bit later.
But she mentions that, and then he says some stuff, I guess. He talks about how the fact that Aubrey Hall holds a lot of dark memories for him as well.
Right.
about his father and that kind of stuff, right, which we saw last episode.
Right. And so I want to, and I think I mentioned this, like, Kate has this overwhelming fear of thunderstorms. So the scene in the library in the book, she is cowering under a table, aww, shaking, and he comes and comforts her, aww, and is so sweet.
That's sweet.
And it's part of their whole bonding thing, which is, yeah, it's terribly sweet. And there's no, like, kissing or anything. It's just, like,
no, it's
him,
just
comforting
him comforting her. Yeah.
Right, because she is, when they get into the final backstory of it in the book, which will never happen here, her mother died in a thunderstorm when she was really, really young, like 3. Mm-hmm. And so she saw that, and it's associated in her mind.
So we got thunderstorms and bees. So.
Thunderstorms and bees. And so, like, she actually asks what happened to your father, and he explains.
Yeah, it's like a bee sting, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Right, it's like, oh, that makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense to me. Okay. Like, you were kind of freaking out, and I was really confused, but that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay. And then Kate runs off.
Yeah.
I mean, she just kind of, like, runs off into the night.
She make it sound like she just leaves in the middle of a storm.
They're both, like, kind of like, we can't be found here.
Going to bed. Bye. And then we go to Daphne and Violet talking about how what they expected Antony's real match would be rather than who it is.
Right. And it's kind of like, not
someone who
Edwina.
Is more, like, similar. Like, Edwina doesn't really seem very similar to Colin. Why did I say Colin?
Right. This is Daphne's, the line I love from her, and it is so true for all of them. Antony is a Bridgerton, and we require a challenge.
Yeah, that's very true.
Right. And that's kind of my whole point. It's like, yeah, Edwina's not a challenge. Edwina's kind of boring.
Yeah. I really like Edwina. However, here's the problem. I see a lot of myself in Edwina, who's just kind of by the book kind of person who, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily by the book. To a certain extent, I am. But, like, when it comes to, like, something that really matters, like, as far as education is concerned, I'm very by the book, as everyone, I guess, should be, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. But, like, when a major thing in life, I tend to, like, try to cover all my bases and stuff like that, and she is very similar, and she is trying to be a perfectionist and stuff like that, and she really does care about how she executes things like that, and she kind of self-assesses herself, and she's very critical of herself when it comes to that. Like, we saw how she reacted when he didn't propose at dinner, and I feel like that's really similar to how I would react. I'd be like, what did I do wrong? Sure, was it the pink? I don't know what it is.
Oh my god, I'm so awesome.
And then, so I think I just really like Edwina because of that, but I can understand, like, if she doesn't open up to anybody in a very real way, Antony.
Or to Kate. You don't really see her open up to Kate, either.
I feel like she
Other than the self-doubt, you don't see anything genuine.
I think the thing is, like, she doesn't feel like she can. I feel like she has this idea in her mind that she can open up to anybody and only can do stuff when she's alone, and we don't really get to see her alone. And yeah. I think that she feels like she has to be perfect for every single person in her life because that's how she's been raised. And that's how, because Kate and her mother tried to make her as perfect as can be for her to be on the marriage market and that kind of stuff. So she feels like she has to use those skills with everyone, including Kate, to a certain extent. Like, I've got this covered, but I'm really nervous about this part. Hey, do you have any advice about this thing I can do or whatever? And that's most of their conversations.
Yeah, I guess.
And she doesn't really, I don't really see them opening up too emotionally to each other.
Right. I don't either. And I think there's probably fault on both sides, and maybe even with the mom on some of that. But, you know, that's not going to get fixed
anytime
soon. So
anyway, let me say this. Daphne says that she thinks that Daphne tells Antony that he doesn't know Edwina that well, and they aren't similar. Yeah, well, you don't have to, like, you should have, like, things that you have in common, but I feel like she's looking for someone who's identical, which is kind of, like, the way that she's phrasing it is kind of confusing to me, because it's like, you shouldn't, have someone who's that identical to you.
No. And I think, you know,
but also a challenge for Antony would be someone who is himself. So I feel like that's what he needs.
Right. I mean,
I think that's who Antony needs. He needs someone who's like going to challenge him, and the biggest challenge would be himself in a girl form. And I guess that, and to a certain extent, that is Kate. And right. So I can understand what she's saying. So, like, I do understand that. So it's like,
well, we're talking about levels. Like, you know, so, like, both Daphne and Simon, it wasn't a social rank because, you know, obviously Simon was a duke. But, you know, they are equal playing field as far as, you know, intellectual ability, social ability.
How they play the game. How they understand it.
Right, and how they are able to communicate with each other. Because Yes. They're communicating at the same level.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
Yeah, eventually.
Right, but... okay.
In the same way.
Right. There is a hope for common ground there. And I think that's part of what people aren't seeing, and I did not see, with Antony and Edwina. It's like, Edwina is not...
She's too agreeable.
Right.
Because when they mention that she's agreeable, and she's like, yes, but I do have a mind of my own, you haven't really shown it, sweetie. I'm sorry. Yes, you do read books, but that doesn't make you less agreeable to, like, everything that he says. You're agreeing to everything he says because that's what you think is going to help you. But I feel like he just needs a challenge to a certain extent where it's like, you're not necessarily always agreeing on stuff, but it's not like, you should agree on big things. Like, hey, city or country, yeah, you're going to have to agree on that for this to work. But like, I think that her being that agreeable to aiming to please so much, that doesn't really work for Antony.
Right, well, and she has not defined her own identity.
No.
So, yeah, I think that's a big issue. But anyway,
I also want to mention that Daphne does mention that her and Simon do have these little spats every now and then because, like, they're still married and they're still, like, learning stuff about each other.
Right.
As you do. And she mentions to Violet that she's, like, they have little arguments, but whenever we solve them, it just feels so gratifying. It's frustrating at the time, but then you see how gratifying it is when you resolve it.
Right.
And
when you work your way through it. Yeah. And some are bigger than others, obviously.
And I feel like she's understanding that that's a big part of it, and having someone to challenge you in that way to also have that gratification of when you guys resolve the issue because you guys are able to work through it, that's what Antony needs, and he's not going to really have those kinds of arguments with Edwina.
Right.
Because Edwina's just going to say, yeah, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because she's that agreeable.
Right. So we go to the ball.
I love Kate's dress.
Right. So, and both Kate and Edwina look beautiful. Antony comes up and dances first with Edwina, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Danbury then starts asking about her hunting time with the Viscount.
That's not what I was making that noise for. That's coming up.
Okay. So, and then, you know, like, Kate's kind of like, it was nice. It's fine.
Well, also, Edwina asked about it. I mean, kind of skipped over it, but Edwina was like, so, how was hunting with the Viscount? And she was like, it was good. And it's like, so, do you guys like each other now? And it's like, yes. Yeah, we do. And it's like, all right, well, did you mention things about, like, the getting married or whatever, the engagement stuff? And she's just like, I'm sure we'll talk about it at the ball. And then she's just like, all right, cool.
Right. And so, and Kate is, again, there's some mental gymnastics going on with her about, like, what can I possibly say is an obstacle to her marrying Antony at this point?
Yeah, what can I say? I now understand.
Right. And because
she feels it.
Right. She feels it. She, inside herself, knows, like, she doesn't want Edwina to marry him because of herself now.
Yeah.
And it's not just
because Edwina's not good for him. That he's not good for her. It's not that at all. Edwina's fine with the life he's offering, but she wants to be with him so badly.
Right, exactly. It's the hormones. So, then Violet, God bless Violet. She's found a guy. She found a guy that she thinks would be a good option for Eloise.
And this is the problem, because the guy is fine.
Right, his name's Lord Morrison.
I didn't realize that. I didn't pay that much attention.
Like, so she's like, oh, why don't you two dance together? Of course you can dance, Eloise.
And then, like, Penelope, like, just kind of turns away and she walks away, and so she, like, can't be an excuse. And then Eloise turns to her and is like, fine, you're going to enjoy this, I guess. And then so she goes and dances with him. And so he tries to start making conversation. She's like, I'm trying to count dance steps in my head. Sorry about that. And like, I'm not, whatever. First of all, Eloise, regardless of if you are trying that hard to do that, like, don't you want conversation? Like, I wouldn't want to dance just, like, with nothing happening, especially in this context. Like, if I was, it's one thing if it's, like, a slow dance and everyone's quiet and whatever, but it's a completely different thing if you're trying to, like, play the game as far as, like, being a guy's concerned and trying to ask questions about her, and she's just, like, deflecting.
Right, and so she's very exhausting as far as the conversation. She's just like, oh, I'm counting my steps. Oh, I, you know, don't talk to me right now. You know, like, whatever.
He's trying,
and then she's like, well, if, you know, if you're gonna behave that way, you might as well. No. Oh, go ahead.
This is what happens. I remember it.
Do tell.
So he is like, hey, this whole thing is kind of boring. I agree. I think this is really boring. So how about we go and spike the punch? How about we do a little fun mischievous activity that has nothing to do with any of the societal crap? And we can just hang out and have fun together. And then she's like, well, what about so you'd rather do, like, something random than having a meaningful conversation? I'm like, bitch, you're not even trying to have conversation. Right. Like, he's trying, and you're not. And so what do you think is going to happen after you spike the punch? You just going to stay by the punch the entire time? No. You would go and have fun and run
watch,
away giggling.
Watch people
make snarky comments to him. He seems like a perfectly nice guy. And right. He seems like a fun guy.
Right.
A guy that's so fun for Eloise.
Right. And so he says something else, and I can't remember exactly.
Oh, you're not like most girls. I think that was something along those lines. Like, you're not like a lot of these other girls who don't really want to, like, who just constantly talk about their achievements or something
right.
like that.
Right, and she's like, well, you know, the least you could do in conversation is not insult my entire sex. It's like,
he's
you
giving
just
you a compliment!
No, it's worse. She insults his entire sex! Like, you fucking idiot.
She's so hypocritical.
She
and it really
is. And it's like,
I understand not wanting to put down all women and, like, putting women in a box or whatever, but, like, you can, he's not,
not
even,
put
he's
men
not
in
saying,
a box.
Well, he's also saying that it's not all women. It's just like, well, most girls I talk to talk just about this kind of stuff, but you're different. He's not saying all women do that.
Right, but she just was bitching about these girls she had to sit with at a table.
And she knows it's true.
Right, exactly. So she knows it's true.
And he's making fun of it.
Right. But
he likes the fact that she doesn't talk about that.
Right, right.
He's a nice guy.
Right.
Much like Theo when they first met, she's just insulting him and not giving him any kind of chance. And then she leaves. And then he tries to stop her, be like, hey, well, maybe we should
people
wait until the end of the dance.
Yeah.
Like, maybe people are looking. He's like, I see where your priorities lie. I'm like, yeah, because it looks weird. Now you're just leaving him alone on the dance floor.
Right.
To fend for himself.
Right. And then she's like, oh,
I'm sorry for yelling, by the way, the audience. I'm just really annoyed by what Eloise does in this
scene. It's the hypocritical part of it. It's just
Also, I did want to point out that, like, when they initially go out onto the dance floor, like, Eloise looks at Violet and Violet's like, smile! And she's trying to coach from the side, and it's really cute.
It's sweet. But Eloise, when she's done, she's like, running off, and people are trying to, like, I guess, stop her, and she's like, no, I'm just going to be such a disappointment. She cries and goes to bed.
But she goes away and she's just like, Violet's like going after her. It's like, but I picked that guy especially out for you because he's like a bit of a rebellious spirit just like you, Eloise. It's like, my rebellious spirit is not some party trick. I'm like, girl, she's not saying it's a party trick. She's saying that it's who you are. And I
recognize that and you can't.
And so I'm not throwing some boring guy your way so that you can actually have some meaningful conversation and have fun with him.
Right.
She wants her to have fun. Violet's doing the right thing. Go, Violet.
Right. And she's also like, you know, thinking, and you don't know exactly the sequence of events, but it's kind of like she has this conversation with Daphne about, you know, you need to find someone similar. She's like, maybe I should find someone similar for Eloise.
Yeah.
And she made the effort.
And she did it.
Hello.
She did it. And also, and then Eloise is just so ungrateful for that. And, like, she can easily get you an old guy who's boring and awful.
Right.
But no, because it's Violet and who wants the best for her children, she gets someone who's similar enough to Eloise
and
in spirit.
And is a lord.
And also, then Eloise is just like, this is not some party trick. I'm like, she's not saying it is, Eloise. She's saying that she knows who you are and she's trying to match someone to your level of, like, fun and rebellious spirit who doesn't really care about the...
Right,
yeah. She's trying. And then also, like... Eloise is just like, well, I'm just going to be a disappointment to you anyway, and then she leaves. And I'm like, girl, first of all, let me just say a couple, just ending parts of this so that we can move on. First of all, the guy's awesome. And he's cute, he's funny, and he actually, like, if I were to, like, go to a ball and I had the same kind of attitudes, like, Eloise, like, oh, I don't really like this kind of thing, he's the perfect guy to go to because he just wants to have fun, spec the punch, do whatever, and, like, be like a high school kid and just, like, run around and, like, giggle and talk and make fun of people, just like you do with Penelope all the time. Right. But no, it's a guy, so boo. And then she... Just be a lesbian at this point, always, if you really don't care, don't like guys this much.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said for that, because she really acts like she does not like guys.
Just like all men. Like, I feel like that it's, I'm not saying that you should just convert, you should just, like, become a lesbian. I'm not saying that you should if you don't like men. Well, I mean, okay, never mind, I'm not going to harp on that. Anyway, I'm not moving on. But, like, also, I think the thing is, it's like, he's a nice guy. He seems like he's fun. He knows the rules of the game, and he still is able to dance and do all the proper stuff, but that in front of everybody else. But when he's just alone with you, he can just, like, change and be like, "Hey, this is who I really am. This is what I kind of want to do." And then you can giggle, have fun, make fun of people. And then Violet did a great job of finding this guy, and you are not being grateful enough for her to just, like. You could have Lady Featherington throwing old guys your way, and you'd be miserable. And Penelope doesn't get this kind of option because Lady Featherington doesn't give a shit enough to, like, set her up with anybody. And then, so it's like, I don't understand why I understand to a certain degree why Eloise, and I know the whole thing about, like, insulting women. I don't think he was insulting all women, though. He was insulting a certain subset that she insults all the time.
Right.
And so I don't know why she was having such a, like, you shouldn't put all women down for the sake of a compliment. It's like, all women are, like, so boring or whatever, but you are awesome. Yeah, don't say that. But, like, if you're just, like, saying, oh, yeah, the people I've talked to so far, like, tonight, yeah, no, they haven't really, like, been sparking much fun conversation. She has the same complaints, and yet here we are.
Yeah.
She really pissed me off. Anyway, we're moving on.
Yes, we are to the Featheringtons, which is not great either.
Are we?
So this is, like, the next thing I have is Lord Featherington and Cressida are laughing on the dance floor. And, again, Cressida looks awesome. Lady Featherington then sends Prudence to the orangery. Oh, don't you need an orange? It's just, like, so, oh, my God, ham-handed. It's like,
I can't. The thing is,
Prudence is really dense, so she doesn't pick up on what's going
on.
She
doesn't care. I don't care.
Then she sends Lord Featherington to the orangery to, like, meet some guy to talk about some business thing.
And then you got
Edwina. And Penelope's overhearing this going, fuck, no, make it stop, no.
Yeah, as we all are. And then Edwina wants Kate to dance with Antony, and they do. Mm-hmm. She eventually is just like, okay, well, me and Kate were just talking, and she wants to dance with you. Because she thinks that he's going to ask for the blessing, and she really just wants it to happen. It's like, hey, if he asks for your blessing, will you give it? And before she can answer, Antony comes over. But, like, she wants them to dance so that they can talk things through like that.
Right.
And so they dance, and then she's like, well, are you going to ask me the question?
Oh, you're skipping stuff.
It's a cute dance. I love it.
Right. The music is Radioactive.
Yeah.
The string quartet version. Yeah. Which, you know, it's kind of great. And Kate is kind of stricken because everyone is watching the fact that they're dancing.
And it's a really, really good, well-choreographed
dance. Oh, God, yeah.
And they're really doing great. Yeah. And the actors, obviously, they have such great chemistry.
They do. Well, and of course, you know, Jonathan Bailey. Okay.
And we love Jonathan Bailey.
We do.
And Kate. We love both.
Right. So Antony asks what Kate wants. What is it that it's going to take for you to approve of me marrying your sister?
Yeah, because I do want your blessing. Right. And so she's just like, well, I don't know.
And then she's like, look, I'm going to return to India after this is all over. So it doesn't really matter
to me at this point. Just make my sister happy, whatever. And then he's just like, wait.
What?
Yeah, and then Auntie's like, wait, you're going back to India? Like, what? What are you talking about? And she's just like, that was always the plan. I was always just going to go back to India after her marriage. And he's just completely, like, thrown. And he's just like, oh, God.
And so
I'm never going to see you again. But
it's just funny to me, like instead of, like, you know, trying to, he's so obviously stricken by it, and he's still, like, on some level clueless, like, this is what's going on, and he's like, I must run away. It's like, oh, come on.
He leaves the dance floor,
and Kate's like, I gotta fix this.
And then Edwina's like, wait, what did you say to him? And then she's just like, I'll go find him. And so they go. And then, oh my god.
No.
I don't want to talk about this.
Well, Lady Featherington bringing the crowd to the orchard to see Lord Featherington and Prudence standing.
They're just standing next to each other and Prudence is holding an orange. And then Lady Featherington comes in with the whole group and be like, oh my god, I saw them touching. He was his hand was on her waist. And then everyone's just like, you have to marry her. And then he's
just insanely stupid.
And he's like, what's going on? And then Prudence is like, yes, I'll marry you.
Yes, okay. And it's kind of like, oh my god. It's such a straight up, like, and I think the part of what bugs me so much about this season too, like, it was such a big fucking deal for Daphne and Simon to be in the garden again. And of course, there was a lot more going on. Yeah. There was a lot, and good.
They actually were doing something.
Right, that's my point. But they were very, very alone. They were there for a purpose, and the purpose was being enacted. So that was a different scenario to me, but... In this season, how many times have Kate and Anthony been alone?
And interrupted.
Right, well, but alone...
Oh, no,
like,
we're getting there.
No, we got alone in the garden. We've got alone, like, out on the hunting
thing. And nothing
thing.
Happens.
Alone in the library, and no one gives a shit. No, it's not just that nothing happens. No one gives a shit.
No one gives a shit, and nothing happens.
Right, but Anthony's got his arms around her, like, trying to teach her how to shoot a gun. They're like together, and the footmen and whatever see them in the garden. I'm like, and there's a bee sting, and he touches her, and like people come. It's like, no one gives a shit. No
one. And yet,
here
we are.
And yet, here we are.
Everyone in the posse cares so much that they were standing next to each other.
In the orangery. Oh, come on.
I don't care.
That is just bullshit. It's bullshit.
All right, so then we go to Anthony and
Kate in the office.
Thank God.
Yes.
Anyway, so Anthony's in there, and he was like, were you ever going to tell me that this was going to happen? And she's like, this is always the plan, dude. I didn't need to tell you that. And then he's just like, well, so you're just going to leave? You're going to leave after the marriage? He's like, yeah. And then he's just like, but I...
And then they're like right up on each other.
Oh no, then he like switches and is just like, do you have any idea what you do? Like what, why
you
do you
fix
hate-
me?
No. He asks, why do you hate me so much? Like, how do you feel about me? Why do you hate me so much? It's just like, you vex me. Like, she says that. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, do you hate me? And she's like, yes, I hate you. And then he gets, like, right in her face and is just like...
They're, like, about touching.
Almost.
Well, I mean, their bodies would be touching at this
point.
Yes,
and then he's just like, well, you vex me or something like along those lines. And I'm like, vex is the new bird, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And I also have an almost kiss number two.
Right.
And he's just like...
There's a counter for you for
this
season.
And he's like right up against her ear, like just breathing on her, which is a big thing for them,
breathing
next to each other's faces, which, okay.
Right.
And then he's just like, tell me you don't care about me.
Right, and she's
and
like,
and she can't
like,
answer.
But, right, and so like you're supposed to be after my sister, and Anthony's like, I'm a gentleman, but my heart is with your sister. Like he's trying to. Talk
and my heart is with your sister, and then he goes up to her and is just like, tell me you don't care for me, or you don't feel something.
Right,
and then she's like,
Daphne walks in, dude.
Would you look at that? And it's also the fourth episode of the season. So
and
you
Daphne
know what
doesn't
happens.
Hit anybody. Daphne doesn't challenge anyone to a duel.
It
Daphne.
Would be so funny if this ended with Kate and Daphne doing a duel. Would you have
that?
Could you have that? No, but also Daphne's learned that she's not going to do that. That's stupid.
Right.
Or like,
well,
can you
Daphne
imagine?
That was stupid the first go around. Like, thank you.
And Anthony goes in the middle of the duel and almost gets shot. And it's just like, what are you doing? It's like, you just run into the middle of the duel.
Right.
Anyway,
right. Right, and so then Daphne, like, reads Anthony the Riot Act, like, dude, what is wrong with you? You are in love with this girl, and you
and he's
know.
Like, but I'm,
and he's like, well, then I know what I have to do.
No, before this, He leaves, he goes after Daphne. Daphne pours herself a drink because she has to.
And then he pours himself a drink because they're Bridgertons.
No, then he pours it, like, it's like scotch or something. And she has already poured herself into a regular, like, scotch glass. And then he gets, like, a goblet almost that's pretty a little bit larger. And he pours it basically the entire way full, drinks a little bit, and then it's just like, okay. And then drinks the entire thing, down the rest of it.
Right. It's like, yeah, because we are Bridgertons.
And so, Daphne's just like, you obviously care for this person. Oh, my God, you care. And you love her. And you feel this way. So you need to make up your mind, and you need to think about what you want to do. And then he's just like, all right, I know what to do. And it's like, okay, fine.
Right. But what he is going to do is fucking stupid.
We'll get there, mother. We'll get there.
But it's based upon his completely misplaced concept of what duty demands of him, as opposed to what the rest of the world sees. So,
well, also, you have to get, well, we'll get there, never mind.
Yes. So, then, Prudence, we cut to Penelope.
I only wrote down Prudence is a bitch.
Well, okay, so Penelope tells Prudence, it's like, look, were you compromised? It's like, you, this whole thing could be, you could be compromised by Lady Whistledown, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, something, you know, what actually happened. And Prudence is like, yeah, he didn't really touch me. It doesn't matter, you know, like, I'm gonna get married, and this is the way it is, and don't you ruin it for me, essentially.
And also, I'll be Lady Featherington to you. And yeah, I'm like,
oh my God, yeah, it's just awful.
And then you go to Kate, and she's crying, and Lady Danbury comes out, and she, and Kate feels like she's ruined things for Edwina, and she feels very guilty about that, and she doesn't want to ruin anything for Edwina. However, like, she can't help how she feels and how, obviously, how he feels. She can't control that. And so,
and Lady Danbury knows, because Lady Danbury is freaking smart.
Of course she knows. She's not blind.
Right. And so she's like, look, you know, have you talked to your sister about this inheritance business?
Like, you need to tell her.
Right.
And obviously, Lady Danbury, when they first had this conversation about that, she was like, I'm not going to tell her for you. That's something you need to do on your own.
Right.
And so she's just like, hey, maybe you should. She gives her a little nudge, like, hey, maybe you should make her aware of the situation, so that if things don't work out with Bridgerton for her, then maybe then she'll know what she needs to do and keep her mind, like, focused on, like, all right, I need to find somebody. And she has plenty of suitors still.
Right, right. She does. And Lady Danbury also says to Kate, because, again, this is kind of like a Violet thing, or even a Lady Danbury with Simon thing, like, she's cutting through the whole, like, I'm getting to the heart of your character thing. I know you're getting in your sister's way.
She knows.
And you need to be honest with your sister and yourself about why.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be honest with yourself about your feelings towards Antony and why you're getting in your sister's way in more ways than one. Like, you've been holding off on this whole, like, giving your blessing thing as well, and for many reasons, including that. And you need to be honest with yourself about how you feel, and this is why you're not trying to let this happen. Anyway, and then
we cut to Lord Featherington.
And Lord Featherington reveals that he's poor, and his gemstone mines aren't really working.
And you know what? All this thing, I needed to marry Cressida because, you know, this ruby necklace I gave her was fake.
And then he's just like, I need to marry someone rich to keep your, and like, he, and the thing is, his, she did, he didn't even pay Cheese Guy's dowry. He just promised to.
Right.
And so basically he just needs to marry someone rich like Cressida, and this whole Prudence thing is getting in the way, whatever, I don't care. And now he told Lady Featherington this, so they're going to have to plan. Anyway, right.
And then we have the Penelope and Colin talking about Marina. Oh my God.
I didn't really write much down the only thing I wrote down was that Colin is choosing to forget Marina.
Well, right. It's like, we've been too hard on Marina, and Colin is thinking of the future, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, please make it stop.
Well, I'm fine with him going forward. I just need, well, I'm fine with him moving on from Marina. He just needs to actually do it. And so I hope this is it.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and then you got
Lady Whistledown talking about country visits.
And then the biggest thing happened towards the end. And so you see Edwina, Kate, and Lady Danbury are getting into their carriage. well, they're about to leave. And Kate, like, stops Edwina and is like, hey, listen. And she realizes this is the end of the visit. Nothing has happened so far. And she's like, I need to tell you why. I need to tell you why this hasn't happened yet. And I feel like she feels like she's the reason. So she's like, listen, Edwina, I need to tell you something. And then
Antony comes out the door.
And Kate turns to him and is just like, wait, what are you doing? Or like,
I need to talk to you.
Yeah, no. Antony is like, I need to talk to you. And then Kate's like, wait, what are you, like, now's not the time or something like that. And he walks past Kate and goes to Edwina and gets down on one knee and proposes. And she says yes.
Oh my God. This is so stupid. And of course it's like, I have my thing in all caps is so fucking stupid and not in the books.
I just wrote down what the fuck.
Right. And then both Daphne and Viola are like, no.
Even like Gregory looked uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's like, oh, make it fucking stop.
And Kate's heartbroken.
Right. And Kate's like completely like slapped in the face with this shit. And of course, the whole reason behind this is that Antony believes that
this is the right thing to do.
He cannot marry for love because he's going to die.
No, but the thing is also, like, literally, Kate's perfect for him. And he knows how he feels about Kate, and he doesn't feel that way with Edwina.
Dumbass!
Just marry fucking Kate. And also, I thought the whole thing with him is that he is very concerned that Kate's going to leave for India and he's never going to see her again. And he wants to keep her in his life. This is not the way to keep her in your life. She literally told you, hey, I'm going to go back to India after Edwina is married off.
But he if he really isn't involved with Edwina, he needs to make sure Kate leaves, right?
So yeah, I understand that, but it still makes me mad.
It's just dumb.
Because he's still, like, spoiler alert, going forward, he still wants to spend time with Kate.
It's dumbass bullshit, like I said. And so, yeah.
Well, he still cares about Kate. That's the thing. Okay. There's a conversation later, but I think I understand. That makes sense. It makes sense that he wants to get Kate as far away from him as possible if he's going to go with Edwina, but you could just go with Kate and everything would be fine.
Exactly, and everybody sees it and everybody knows it, and here we are at the end of episode 4, halfway through the season, and it's like, you fucking dumbass.
Now, that's not how I felt at episode 4 in the first season.
Oh, that's entirely true, because at the end of episode 4, season 1, we have Simon saying, I can't marry you. It's like, excuse me, you
but
dumbass.
But then she at least forces him to.
Right, because Daphne is, Daphne is more
the
assertive.
Confrontation of feelings happens in episode 4.
Right, and this is one of those interesting things. You think of Daphne as this feminine, sweet, whatever, and that Kate is the strong-willed, headstrong woman.
But she's not doing anything!
She's not doing anything, and it's fucking stupid.
Well, but also, I think the thing is like, that's why, like, how she feels, that's, like, her feelings towards Antony, like, shining through for her, where she's, like, whenever he's, like, talking to her like that, she's so confused, and, like, she's trying to, like, figure things out, and she's kind of breathless and can't do whatever. I don't know. Whatever.
Or she wants him to do it.
Yeah. Man of action bullshit. Anyway.
Yeah, right. Mr. Man of Action does the wrong action.
Just
right
breathe.
Here. Right. It's just
stop
like
breathing
fucking
and start kissing.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
exactly.
No, breathe. You can still breathe, but like
there was kissing in the books. I'm just saying.
I'm
so,
aware of that, Mom. Best part.
Best part to me of this episode. I really did not love this episode at all. So
there are a lot of problems with this episode
for me.
Like,
oh my God, there are so many problems with this episode.
We came from one of my favorite episodes to one of my least.
The best part, I guess, is the breathing in the office.
Just breathing in the office.
Which, again, to me is fucking bullshit. So, that's as good as I can get
with
this episode.
Fair enough. My best part is Kate and Antony on the hunt and at the ball.
Breathing.
Yeah, breathing, but dancing also. I liked the dancing.
Whatever.
The worst part.
Oh my God, there are so many.
Choose one.
Only one?
Well, I have two.
Oh
well,
my
to be
God.
Fair, I have
Why
two.
Why don't you do your two and then I'll do mine.
I just wrote down the feathering tins and then the proposal.
Oh, God. Okay, so, yes, both of those. And the proposal is probably number one on my list because, of course, not in the books and fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But then there's the Featheringtons, everything involving Marina, and Eloise being a complete and total bitch. I mean, there's just, like, a lot wrong with this fucking episode.
Yeah.
A lot. That whole Featherington bullshit, I'm sorry. I'm just, like, fucking done with fucking
Featherington. I should have also added Eloise and the Marina. Yeah. Well, actually, Eloise irks me more than Marina right now.
Yeah, that's okay. Fair, because she's a bigger plot point. But still, it's like, don't fucking care.
So
fucking stop it.
We do letter grades. So what'd you give it?
Because I didn't write stuff down, I get to just say whatever I'm thinking.
I guess that's a whole, all new.
What I'm sitting here right now thinking is C-D. I really hated this episode.
I originally, I don't know what, again, I don't know what I was on when I, whenever I, like, write down a letter grade, I always change it, like, in the middle of, like, when we start talking about it, because I realize how much certain parts annoy me. And so originally, again, I don't know what I was on, I put like a B minus, and I was like, no, that's not it. When I started talking about this, I immediately changed it, and I changed it to a D.
Yeah. It fucking sucks. This episode really fucking sucks.
Because when I think about this episode, even just individually, I really am not loving this episode. There were certain moments that I like, obviously I put in my favorite part, but I think that even in the grand scheme of things, it slows everything down to a standstill, considering how it ends. And it slows all of the development that has been happening in certain relationships to a halt. Yeah. And it really bugs me, because it just slows everything down, and it makes... There are so many more obstacles going forward for our main couple, which we already know is Anthony and Kate. So it really makes me mad that we don't get to just see them be together. Because this is how I wish the end of the episode would have gone. I wish the end of the episode gone with him proposing to Kate.
Yeah.
If it had gone that way instead, I would have way preferred it. Right. Because it would have made sense. And also, because I... let me rephrase that. This is the way I wanted it to go. I wanted it to go with... And I love that I'm adding this element. I didn't feel like I had to last one, the last season. I would have changed with Simon, but that's whatever. That's in the past.
Yes.
We're moving on. Anyway, so this is the way I wish the episode ended. I wish the episode ended with Kate stopping them from going into the cares and being like, hey, listen, this happened with Anthony. I'm really sorry, and I feel like I've gotten in your way, and I really want to apologize for that. And Anthony come out and be like, I'm going to be honest as well. I don't want to... I'm choosing to marry Kate instead. Yeah. He gets down on one knee, he knows that it's his duty, and he also loves her, and he realizes how he feels, and he offers to marry Kate. Even if she says no,
he's
at least breaking off with Edwina, and that whole bullshit, and be, like, honest with himself about what he wants, and being a man of action like he should be, and at least Kate, actually, I would have been fine with this being on, a cliffhanger where he proposes, and she doesn't know what to say, and she gives him, like, a maybe... Mm-hmm. I want to think about this, and then go off, break into groups, and talk about it the next episode. And then I could write this show, and everybody would be much more happy, and everything would be fine.
But unfortunately, that is not what actually happens.
And the fact that I could come up with something so much better, and even juicier, you don't get an answer right away. Like, he asks, it cuts to black, and there's the credits.
Yeah.
And she, and, like, it's a breathless thing where they always do that in freaking, like, TV shows where, if it's an uncertain answer to the question,
mm-hmm.
where, like, they don't know where they stand or whatever. So it would have been, like, cheesy like that.
Like, all of Friends. Like, most Friends seasons.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then you got, the Bridgerton bros can talk about it. And then be like, that's not where I thought that would go. Yeah. And then Kate and Edwina talk about it. Edwina's heartbroken because she thought things were going a certain way. She feels guilty about that for, like, an episode. And then Kate and Anthony talk at some point. And then they make up. And then Edwina gets together with the guy from the beginning of the season, who I forgot. Lumley?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I will say
Has a poetry book on hand at all times, and he is just like Edwina.
I'm just going to say this in the book, because, of course, it's not going to be like a thing. So Edwina, after they come back from Aubrey Hall, tells Kate, hey, I'm in love with this guy that I met at Aubrey Hall, who's a scholarly guy, and he's a nice guy, and he's a whatever. It's that's
nice.
Right, so there's
happy ending
zero, yeah, and there's zero, she's not into Anthony. There's just none of that fucking
again,
bullshit.
Again, I'm fine with her being into Anthony. It creates tension.
Okay,
for
I'm fine with you know.
Yeah, I'm fine with
Jonathan
it.
Bailey.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like it would give them such a nice chance to expand their Kate and Anthony's relationship. They can think about it separately during that episode, and then meet at like the middle midpoint of the episode, talk about stuff, and be like, why did you propose to me in that moment? It was very odd. And he can be honest about his feelings, and it's just like, well, you didn't answer me about how you felt about me, so I figured I'd take a chance and be a man of action. And she'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna marry you. And then
Hells yeah, but then you get to see them,
and then that's the halfway point of the season, so you get to see the rest of them, and then they get married the next episode, and bada bing, bada boom, you got a great season of Bridgerton. And you get to see them married.
Right, and get to see them work that shit out, you know?
You don't have to go through the fucking red tape that is Edwina and his engagement, and it's such bullshit. Yeah, that's how I feel.
Well, we are gonna talk about the bullshit, because there's bullshit coming, people.
I do like the very end of this season. I do enjoy the end of this season. I don't like any of this bullshit that's happening right now.
Well, we're gonna go through all of the bullshit, because that's part of why we are here for Bridgerton season 2. So please join us next episode, which is Bridgerton. Season 2, episode 5. I can't remember the name of it.
I did have to look it up. An Unthinkable Fate.
Yeah, unthinkable. Here we go. It is unthinkable. So join us
and cheers.